We're still in Psalms. And tonight, Psalm 88. Psalm 88. A song of the sons of Korah to the chief musician, set to Mahalath, Leonath, a contemplation of Heman the Ezrahite. O Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to the grave. I am counted with those who go down to the pit. I am like a man who has no strength, adrift among the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, and who are cut off from your hand. You have laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the depths. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you have afflicted me with all your waves, Selah. You have put away my acquaintances far from me. You have made me an abomination to them. I am shut up, and I cannot get out. My eye wastes away because of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon you. I have stretched out my hands to you. Will you work wonders for the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise you? Selah. Shall your loving kindness be declared in the grave? Or your faithfulness in the place of destruction? Shall your wonders be known in the dark, and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. Lord, why do you cast off my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? I have been afflicted and ready to die from my youth. I suffer your terrors. I am distraught. Your fierce wrath has gone over me. Your terrors have cut me off. They came around me all day long like water. They engulfed me altogether. Loved one and friend, you have put far from me and my acquaintances into darkness. This psalm is probably the saddest of all the sad psalms. The sadness is from the beginning to the end. It's the song that I think fits with the second half of Hebrews. In the first part of Hebrews, you have, the whole part of Hebrews 11, is the Hall of Fame of Faith. And the first half of Hebrews 11 talks about the miracles that were done. You know, Moses parting the Red Sea, Abraham and Sarah having a child at 190, and all these wonderful things that happened. But then the last part of Hebrews 11 talks about those who endured hardship and who prayed and seemed to not have their prayers answered. They were beheaded. They lived out in the desert. They were homeless and helpless, and it seemed like their prayers were not answered. And yet by faith, they continued to be faithful. Some believers have dramatic answers to prayer. And some have answers to long-term prayer, like Abraham and Sarah for a child. And some have no answers to prayer in their lifetime. And their only hope is heaven. This psalm, point number one, is a personal prayer psalm. And these prayers are the product of great pains. O Lord, verse 1, God of my salvation, I cried out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. Psalm 88, 1 and 2. This psalm, one of the sons of Korah, the psalmist, one of the sons of Korah, knows God as the God of his salvation. He calls him that. And so I believe this person is a believer. And this is the hopeful title by which he addresses the Lord, as Spurgeon says. And it has about the only ray of comfortable light which shines throughout the psalm, C.H. Spurgeon. There's no more comfort after the first couple of verses. This is a sad, sad psalm. Note his prayer is day and night, verse 1. Even every day, verse 9, he says, Lord, I have called upon you. I have called daily upon you. And so it's day and night. It's every day. It's 24/7. It's year after year. It's constant pain. It's constant praying. But at this point, he's got no answer. Notice prayer is fervent, emotional, and even physical. He says in verse 1, I have cried out. In verse 2, he calls it my cry. In verse 9, he says, my eye wastes away because of affliction. In verse 9b, he says, I stretched out my hands to you. And so you can picture this man. He's stretching his hands out. He's crying. He's in affliction. He's constantly praying day and night and day after day. And his prayer, like many we see in the Psalms, is first for access to his prayer to be heard. He says, let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to me. His cries and prayers come to God early each day, as it says in verse 13. But to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. I believe this is partly because the pain wouldn't let him sleep. He's up all night praying day and night. And then in the morning, the first thing he does is start praying if he slept at all. And this is because he knows God is his only hope. Thomas Goodwin says something about the but in verse 13. He says, that but seems to come in as an expression of his resolution hitherto, that though these apprehensions of his condition were his apprehensions of his conditions, that he sought the Lord and would go on to do the same. Suppose thou find'st no relish in the ordinances, meaning when you come to church, there's no joy for that. When you take the Lord's Supper, you're not seeming to benefit from it. When you pray, there seems to be no answer. Yet use them. Thou art desperately sick. Yet eat still. I do that. If I get the flu, I eat and eat and eat, even if it makes me throw up. And he says, he prays and prays and prays, even if he's not getting the answer. Take all that is brought thee. Some strength will come of it. Say, be damned or be saved, hypocrite or no, I resolve to go on. Meaning, he's going to pray, even though he feels like God is not hearing him. C.H. Spurgeon said, let prayer and holy hymn perfume the morning air. Before the world with smoke is dim, bestir thy soul to prayer. While flowers are wet with dew, lament thy sins with tears. And ere the sun shines forth anew, to tell to thy Lord thy fears. And so here we see this man, he is Heman the Ezrahite. There's not a lot said about him in scripture, but we see he was a man of great troubles, great pains. And it seems, as we'll see, that these lasted through his whole life. And yet we believe, there's no reason to believe he was not a believer. And there are believers that struggle their whole lives with different difficulties. Secondly, this psalm is a near-death or deathbed song. Verse 3, a soul's troubles song. For my soul is full of troubles. Not just physical pain, but when he talks about soul pain, it's emotional pain, it's trouble, and it fills his soul, his very inner being. It's a grave and pit song. He says in verses 3 and 4a, and my life draws near to the grave. I am counted with those who go down to the pit. This may be, it was literally true of him at the time he's writing this. He knows he's dying. He's going to die soon. Either that, or he's been in this condition, maybe sick all his life, and people treat him as dead. It may be that we're not sure, he may have had leprosy, and leprosy was a disease that made you go away from everybody. And yet we don't read a lot of Psalms about that. But this man is in this condition where he is separated from everyone, and he is counted with those who go down into the pit, which is also true. And Samuel Berger points this out, was true about Christ. He was one who went down into the pit, at least on his cross he did. There was pain there like no other person ever felt. Next to the troubles of Christ's soul are mentioned the disgrace and ignominy to which he was submitted. He was who was the fount of immortality, from whom no one could take his life, who could in a moment have commanded 12 legions of angels to his aid, or have caused heaven and earth at a word speaking to fly away before him. He was counted among those who go down into the pit. He died to all appearance like the rest of mankind. Nay, he was forcibly put to death as a malefactor, meaning a criminal, and seemed in the hands of his executioners as a man who had no strength, no power, or might to help and save himself. His strength went from him. He became weak and like another man. The people shook their heads at him, saying, he saved others, himself he cannot save. That's spoken of Christ, and you see there's a resemblance in this psalm to what Christ went through. It is a weakness psalm. He says, verse 4b, I am like a man who has no strength. And some die that way. They have no strength. They can do nothing for themselves. And some spend many years of their life in that case. And this seems to be the case here for this man. And then worst of all, there is a fear of hell. Verses 5 and 6. Adrift among the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, and who are cut off from your hand. You have laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the depths. This is a picture of hell. And he is in such a sad condition, physically or emotionally or both, or maybe dying, that he feels there's not even the spiritual delight here, and God is against him, and he feels like he's on his way to hell. And it may have been that he was a great sinner too. We don't read about that much, but we see him as he says, like those you've cut off, going to the lowest pit in darkness in the depths. And the ones that are cut off are those who go to hell. And yet he's still praying. So we trust that he's a believer. Thirdly, now no true believer will go to hell, but he felt like that was the case. Thirdly, why does the psalmist have such fears? When he feels God's wrath. He talks about God's wrath. It is heavy, more weight than he can bear. He says, your wrath lies heavy upon me, verse 7. Then there's multiple afflictions. There's constant waves. He says, you have afflicted me with all your waves, verse 7. It is a casting off. It's a rejection. The Lord, why do you cast off my soul, he says, verse 14. And then it's the hiding of God's face, meaning his positive providence. Why do you hide your face from me? And so he's cast off. God is hiding his face. He's afflicted him with many waves. You know, a wave keeps coming in, doesn't it? Wave after wave after wave. And that's what this psalmist is feeling. And he has these fears that he's on his way to hell. It's a long-term affliction that he's gone through. He says, I have been afflicted and ready to die from my youth. And so we figure he's not a youth now. It doesn't say how old he is when he writes this psalm, but I'm guessing he was a fairly old man. He might not have been that old. He might have just been dying his whole life, and now he feels like it's about time that he will die. Verse 15, William Plummer says, I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. How much some suffer. I've seen a child who at age of 20 months had probably suffered more bodily pain than the whole congregation of 1,000 souls where its parents worshipped. Asa seems to have been of a sad heart, Jeremiah lived and died lamenting. Haman seems to have been of the same lot and of the same turn of mind. Some of you will remember the ones who were at Wednesday night prayers for many years. Remember Jonathan Baldini, who we prayed for regularly on Wednesday nights. This young man was constantly in the hospital, constantly in pain, until the Lord took him home. He lived his life, his whole life in hospitals, in constant pain and surgery. You know, he was born in 1991, way after all of us, and he died September 6th, 2017. So, how old is that? Like 16 years old. And all that time he spent in pain, in struggles. Some things that even some of you who are older, you never went through these things. But he went through them and was, now he's in heaven, I believe. He's in a wonderful place. But he had his pains all at once. And it seems like the writer of this psalm is like that. Whatever he's going through is horrible. Terrors distraught, fierce wrath surrounds, engulfs him constantly. He's drowning in tears. He says, I suffer your terrors. I am distraught. Your fierce wrath has gone over me. Your terrors have cut me. They came all around me all day like water. They engulfed me altogether. You know, today, even somebody who is sick has a hospital to go through, painkillers and different things like that. What did he have in those days? We don't know how it would have been for these people. The prison of pain is a place he cannot escape. He says, I am shut up and I cannot get out. Is he talking spiritually or emotionally? Or is he physically shut up somewhere where he cannot get out? We don't know, but this is how he is expressing his feelings, 88:8. He has lost his friends. He says, God took them away. You have put away my acquaintances far from me. You made me an abomination to them. And then in verse 18, 10 verses later, loved one and friend, you have put far from me and my acquaintances into darkness. And so here he is alone. When we go through COVID and we think about some people who are literally locked away, they can't see their relatives or friends. This is what it was like for this man. And it seems it was for a good period of his life. Questions from this hellish place of pain. Verse 10, he asks this question. Will you work wonders for the dead? Shall dead arise and praise you, Salah? Verse 10, A.R. Fawcett comments on this verse. He says, shall the dead arise and praise thee? So far from this being an argument against the resurrection, it is the Messiah's own most powerful plea for it, that otherwise man would be deprived of salvation, and God of the praise which he redeemed shall give for it to all eternity. Thou canst not show wonders to the dead as such, for God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Or even if thou wert to show thy wonders, it is only by their rising to life again that they can duly praise thee for them. And when you think of this, what he's saying there is, this man, though he suffered all his life, sort of like the rich man and Lazarus who was laying there with his sores, he's risen up to heaven at the end, and he never had any taste of anything like that. And now, you know, he's been there how long? For thousands of years? And how long will he be there in heaven? For eternity? And so he suffered these things, and his whole life was just pain and pain and pain and more pain. But now he's in heaven with the Lord. He says in verse 11, shall your loving kindness be declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in the place of destruction? Shall your wonders be known in the dark, and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? And these are the things that he was asking. And it seems like he didn't know for sure the answer.
But we know the answer. We know if he was true, and he prayed his whole life, but God would answer those prayers, maybe not in this life, but in heaven. Lord, why do you cast off my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? It's sad when we think of this. Some people never do have that answer to prayer. God must strengthen them or have some purpose for them to go through all these pains day after day after day. But we know people go through these things. We've heard of them. We know them personally sometimes. Some ask these questions all their life because so full of pain and strife. They tasted hell. Well, they were here. In Christ, that taste will disappear. And here we have a man. If you look back at the first verses, he says, O Lord, God of my salvation. There was faith there. There was reason to believe. This man is now in heaven. We don't know much about him. He certainly wasn't David, who was king, who lived like a king. He's not even Paul, who, even though Paul was stoned and shipwrecked and had all these things, he had a ministry. He went out to places. He did many things. Peter had a wife, had a life. He was a fisherman. He gave his life for the Lord. He died in the end. But this man, it seems, only had sickness, only had difficulty, only had struggles his whole life. And yet he writes a psalm for us. And the psalm is in the scripture. And I believe it's here because this man, whoever he was a priest of the Lord. He was one of the sons of Korah. But he was one of those who probably was so constantly in pain and in difficulty that he maybe didn't do a whole lot else other than write this psalm. And you could say he complained. And yet he had reason to. And yet, while he complained, he also prayed. And prayed and prayed and prayed. And I believe his prayer is answered beyond the grave. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this psalm, even this sad, sad psalm. Because we know people go through these things. Even believers, it seems like they suffer and suffer and suffer. And it seems like there's hardly any good that comes to them. And yet, Father, we see this and they are faithful yet. And Father, when we don't have all these pains that they have, and oftentimes we're blessed, are we praying like they pray? Are we faithful? And so, Father, we pray, help us to think about these things and help us to pray for those who go through extra suffering and extra difficulties that we haven't experienced, and help us to walk with you on our good days and also on our bad, because we will have pain in this life as well, and we do. And so, Father, we pray you'd help us to go through it and pray like this man did. And Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We know you are the God of our salvation. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.